Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This sound check, I'm John Schaefer. Now that we can buy our music and our books digitally, maybe photographs will be next. In the case of Talking Pictures, a new exhibit by Welsh photographer Cambridge Jones, that wouldn't be such a bad idea. Jones's exhibit includes not just photographs, but recordings of his various subjects talking about their sources of inspiration. Talking Pictures features Welsh singers like Shirley Bassey here, and opera star Bryn Terfel, and Welsh-inspired singers like Led Zeppelin's Robert Plant, as well as actors, writers, and filmmakers. Cambridge Jones, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you, John.
So it's called Talking Pictures. Why make your pictures talk?
I think there's a bit of a conceit in there, in the end I'm interested in you looking at the photograph, but I'm aware that photography is now so omnipresent and everyone does it all the time that you sort of need a hook to hang it on. So that's the brutally honest answer. But the other thing
is... So is a photograph not worth 1,000 words anymore?
Well, I'm considering chopping them up and selling them for 99 cents, I tell you. Seems a much better plan. But I think what then happens is when you... I did it originally with an exhibition called Face the Music, and what I found was that by making people put headphones on in front of the portrait, you are sort of engaging in a deeper level with your subject. And I had a whole collection of people from Desmond Tutu through to Tony Blair in that, and you just stop, and it makes them stop. And then along the way, when we wanted to do something for Wales, in a discussion with the Welsh Assembly, we came up with the idea of actually getting them to talk about who had inspired them to be whatever they are. So who inspired Robert Plant to become... or who or what inspired them to become a musician, and so on.
Well, now, this exhibit, Talking Pictures, which is at Lincoln Center through November 27th, there's lots of star power. You've got Anthony Hopkins and Eddie Izzard and Terry Jones from Monty Python, but the vast majority of people seem to be musicians, or at least a good majority of them.
That's probably my fault. I think they probably gave me too much editorial freedom here, because that is my favorite thing to photograph and always has been. So,
why?
There are three types of people I get paid to photograph, essentially. Politicians, actors, and musicians. And they are very different to do, and they're very different in terms of how they approach creativity. Politicians think they're very relaxed in front of the camera and will do virtually nothing. Actors think that it's like, I'm trying to think of a polite way to put this, but that it's just very easy and they'll just roll through it. But actually they're incredibly self-conscious and every physical gesture they make is a statement, so they censor it. But musicians, we enter the room with a kind of contract, which is, you know what? If we really work together, we could really sell this album. And that gives you an amazing thing to bounce off, a kind of energy. And so people like, I don't know, Jack White or I'm doing a great book in Nashville of country singers at the moment. And it's just, for me, it's heaven to work with those people because they, for some reason, they're not self-censoring in the creative process.
Are you a musician yourself?
Sort of, but I play the clarinet, and I'm classically trained up to a point. But my love really is just of music generally, from Bach to the Beastie Boys.
Well, and that seems to be reflected in a lot of what you do. I mean, you know, there's this wide panoply of amazing singers, from Shirley Bassey to Bryn Terfel, and stopping along the way at pop stars like Bonnie Tyler and rockers like Robert Plant. All of them Welsh, except how does Robert Plant get into this?
Well, this is a really interesting debate because I think, and a particularly interesting one to have in America, because I think there's a question about whether you have to have been born or have the DNA, the genes in you to count as somebody from that nation. And it's particularly poignant sitting this close to Ellis Island to have that conversation. I think you'll find that all of these people are in a sense self-selecting, because I knew they all had a link with Wales, so I asked them, and if they didn't feel a strong link with Wales, they'd have said no. And in Robert Plant's case, he from a very early childhood, he was always there, and his song From Stairway to Heaven was written with Wales as the inspiration. So,
well, this is from the exhibit called Talking Pictures, Photographs and Recordings by my guest Cambridge Jones, and this is Robert Plant.
As a child, my parents had friends who had a small cottage in Snowdonia and in Merioneth near Machynlleth, and we used to go up there for school holidays. And by the time Led Zeppelin was just coming out of the egg, Jimmy Page and I spent time in that area writing and basically getting a huge kick out of the pulse of Mid Wales, if you like, that the beautiful seascapes, the fantastic mountains.
Where'd you get your liquor? Where'd you get your dram? Come all the way from England to steal your pretty hand. Apple like a cherry, cherry like a rose. How I love you, Cindy. Oh, God in heaven knows. Get along home, Cindy, Cindy. Get along home. Get along home, Cindy, Cindy. I'll marry you sometime.
The new Robert Plant CD called Band of Joy. And we heard Robert Plant talking a little bit about the influence of Wales, the Welsh countryside, in the making of the music of his far better-known band called Led Zeppelin. Cambridge Jones, the photographer, with me here in the studio on Soundcheck today. Talking Pictures opens today, right?
Wednesday,
okay. Wednesday. And runs through November 27th at Lincoln Center in the New York Public Library for the Performing Arts. And it is both a set of portraits, photographs, and these recordings that you made them yourself.
Yeah, I mean, in the Robert Plant one, it was an extraordinary scene where I'd phoned him, and we arranged to meet in a village halfway between us. I half the time in New York and half the time in Oxford in Britain, and we'd arranged to meet in this village on the borders of Wales. And on my way there, I passed this farm with a green barn, and I just called him and said, Robert, what do you think about coming out to this barn? And we got there, and it was all locked up, and there was no one there. And we asked the neighbour, whose barn is this? And they said, I don't know, but they're never there. So we actually broke into this barnyard, set up all our equipment, all our lights, and the whole shoot was sort of an illegal squat in this barnyard.
But Talking Pictures, as I mentioned before, this wide range of Welsh musicians, many of them singers. What is it with Wales and singing? I mean, it seems to be such an integral part of Welsh culture.
Well, I don't know the honest answer. I spoke to the dialect coach recently who works on movies teaching people accents, and they were explaining that the different accents from different bits of America or different bits of Britain are really, really related to the physical geography, and that if you look at the hills and the valleys of Wales and you get the rolling up and down in the way you talk, and that somehow that may be related to the fact that singing comes out of that, because you have a very expressive Rhys Ivans, who's in this exhibition, who's in a new movie about Howard Marks, talks very eloquently about that in the exhibition, about how the language, the combination of Welsh and English and the way they interact, gives you a sort of very melodic tone.
Mm. So the Welsh language is a very inflected, a very melodic one.
Did we ddim yn siarad Cymraeg now? Yeah. Paldroedd gyda chi, John.
Easy for you to say. There was not a vowel in that sentence, was there? Did you find yourself learning something about being Welsh by doing this project?
That's a very perceptive comment, because I left quite young, about 15, and no one's ever been very interested in the fact I was from Wales. And to some degree, I was talking about this to the First Minister who launched my exhibition in Cardiff. We almost hide it a bit, unlike the Scots and the Irish. We don't go forth waving the flag. And yet doing this exhibition has vastly reconnected me with a little town called Llanidloes and where I'm from and my upbringing in a really beautiful way, which wasn't the point. The point was to celebrate Wales. But actually, one of the lovely byproducts is something it's given back to me.
Now, why does Wales not have the kind of, you know, in-your-face pride of a Scotland or a Northern Ireland or other parts of the United Kingdom?
Because we're too near England. They managed to beat it out of us. The Scots had a bit of distance and the Irish had the sea.
Well, but there are some Welsh musicians, including some in your project, in Talking Pictures, who are very vocal about being Welsh, about, you know, what being Welsh has done for them as singers. And I'm thinking specifically of Bryn Terfel, the opera star who has been here in our studio talking about exactly that sort of thing.
Yeah. And I love what I really wanted in this. I wanted to get people who you first and foremost respect for their musical talent or their acting talent, And their Welshness is a secondary issue. But what was so lovely is when you then got to Eddie Izzard or Bryn Terfel and you heard them talking, the passion that came out of them was fantastic.
Well, again, this is one of the recordings that Cambridge Jones, the photographer, made for his exhibit called Talking Pictures, which opens Wednesday and runs through November 27th at the Lincoln Center New York Public Library for the Performing Arts. This is Bryn Terfel.
And the main character who sang Otello that night was Placido Domingo. And it was the first opera I ever saw. So it opened the floodgates, ignited a candle, and a passion for opera. It solidified, really, my choice in profession. You need dedication in this profession, and you need somebody to look up at, and Placido has become not only a mentor, but a good friend.
Und der Haifisch, der hat Zähne, und die trägt im Gesicht, und Makif, der hat ein Messer, doch das Messer sieht man nicht an einem schönen blauen Sonntag liegt ein toter Mann am Strand und ein Mensch geht um die Ecke den man Mäcki Messer nennt.
Familiar tune from Kurt Vile, known in English as Mac the Knife, sung by Bryn Terfel, the Welsh opera star, who is one of the people pictured in Cambridge Jones' new exhibit called Talking Pictures, in which he not only took all of the portraits, but actually recorded all of these folks talking about sources of inspiration. In Bryn's case, the first opera, the thing that got him started on what has turned out to be a hugely successful opera career. Cambridge, let me ask you about your career. You're Oxford educated.
That's right.
You actually studied briefly with David Cameron, now the Prime Minister of the UK.
You guys are better informed about me than I am. Yeah, I not only studied with him, I copied most of his notes, which were rather excellent. And he got a top degree and I didn't.
Now, have you done his portrait yet?
Yeah, a couple of times. I'm doing a new one, actually, with them, where we're taking their favorite piece of oratory and shining it into their face. And
so when you were studying, you must have been studying politics then.
Yeah.
So how did you get into photography? I mean, obviously, you're still doing both in a way, but...
I always did both, really, and all the way through college. I was mostly in the dark room and taking pictures of the different people, and it was... I just thought you couldn't seriously do photography for a living. That would be insane. You'd got to Oxford, you were studying politics, philosophy and economics, so you better go out and do the proper thing. But gradually over time, well, I think I was just lucky is the honest truth. So I won an award and I got asked to do some stuff with Tony Blair off the back of some almost accident. And three things aligned that just left me going, okay, I better do it.
And you still, you know, have these connections. You're now working with the Prince's Trust, which is a major charity. What do you do for them?
They are an amazing charity. They basically help kids who've come off the rails, so they've fallen out of education. Maybe their parents have left them and they've stumbled into drugs and stuff. And basically what I do particularly, different people do different stuff, but a lot of celebrities help them in different ways. What I do is alert people to the work they're doing. And we did a book called Inspired by Music, which Starbucks paid the whole thing for, which was just to alert people to the good cause.
Right. And that book consisted of various celebrities talking about pieces of music that inspired them.
Yeah. And ideally a song that had helped them through a difficult time. Or there was a guy who was kidnapped and he heard Radiohead on the car radio while he was blindfolded in the back of this thing in Saudi Arabia, I think. And the really powerful stories that accompany these songs.
Wow. Aside from that, which is like a fairly obvious instance of music as a kind of a portal into somebody's mind, what for you is the kind of recurring interest in asking people about music?
That's a really good question. For me, you know, the first thing I wanted to know when I knew I was coming here is to remind myself what music you, I mean, because you like so much, that what was your real favorite? And for me to understand somebody, I really want to know what makes them tick. It's not just what you like, it's what you really get off on. And for me, that's somehow as important as anything in understanding a character. And I can't tell you why that is, it's just, I need to know that. to know whether I like you.
We're speaking with the photographer Cambridge Jones, and John from New Jersey has sent in a question. I wonder how important Mr. Jones thinks image is to music. Specifically in rock music, they seem almost inseparable. Is there an argument for allowing music to speak for itself, wholly disconnected from image? It seems that sometimes image enhances music, but in others, image devalues it.
It's a good question. I mean, of course, sitting where I'm sitting, I could say the reverse is true, that ideally you would come to see my exhibitions without music in your headphones. But I think the truth is that in the modern world, if you can attract somebody's attention with a pop video or by putting your Brandenburg concertos on with some well-known violinist, then you're finding a way to crack through the fact that there's such a plethora of stuff going on. So I don't think it's a good thing, but I think it's an inevitable thing.
You can also see a slideshow of Chuck Klosterman's work. Chuck Klosterman. You can see Chuck Klosterman's work on our website. But Cambridge Jones, the photographer, you can see a slideshow of his work on the Soundcheck page, wnyc.org/soundcheck, if you can't wait for Wednesday's opening of Talking Pictures at the New York Public Library for the Performing Arts at Lincoln Center. One of the interesting things for Americans about Talking Pictures and its Welsh connection is how many of these people are Welsh. You know, I, for example, did not know Shirley Bassey was Welsh, or Bonnie Tyler. Although when you listen to her talk, it becomes a little more obvious. This, again, is Bonnie Tyler talking about her sources of inspiration to my guest, Cambridge Jones.
The people that inspired me were, like, from the 60s, when Tina Turner was with Ike and Tina Turner, and Janis Joplin had just done Woodstock, and oh, it's so incredible, you know. And I just loved powerful voices, and I wanted to be powerful as well. And so I used to listen to their songs in my bedroom with a hairbrush pretending I was singing into a microphone. And it's really incredible because one time I was in Germany, I was in a rehearsal to do a show there. It was a TV show, and when I walked into rehearsals, Tina Turner saw me. She was just making her comeback then, and she saw me walk in the room, and she's going, it's a high in her way, you know what I mean? It's a heartache, you know, but in her way. And I'm like, oh my God, Tina Turner singing my song, you know? It was unbelievable, you know? But she just did it as I walked in for a bit of fun, you know?
Bonnie Tyler, very, very excited to have her her hero, Tina Turner, singing one of her songs. So as I say, Cambridge, this is one of the unusual things, is, you know, all these people, Terry Jones from Monty Python. Now, let me ask you about his photograph, because for the most part in Talking Pictures, there's no trick photography done. Terry Jones is standing there holding his own head under his arm. Why break format, so to speak, for him?
It's a good question again. I don't normally go in with any preconceived idea, because almost inevitably, if you go in trying to force an idea into a creative spirit, it will kind of implode. But in Terry's case, I did have this idea that we should do something a little Dada-esque and a little bit odd. And so I went in, but he just finished with an academic from a New York university, and he was talking about medieval history, and I thought, this isn't right, I can't really ask him to do this. And then I walked into his living room, and there was one of those posters, a painting of him sitting playing the organ naked. Do you remember in the old Monty
Python? From the old Monty Python, sure.
And I thought, actually, I can ask him, and he was great. He just went straight for it. But you're right, in the principle, I try to just keep it as honest as I can and straight.
Talking Pictures is the name of the exhibit. It opens at Lincoln Center's New York Public Library for the Performing Arts this Wednesday, runs through November 27th. Slideshow on the website, wnyc.org/soundcheck. Cambridge Jones, the photographer, with me on Soundcheck today. It's really been a pleasure. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, John.
And still to come, violinist Hilary Hahn talks about her latest album and career, and her active life on YouTube, next on Soundcheck.